Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is from Philippians, the 2nd chapter, beginning at verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the text. There is an old and well-known English play called She Stoops to Conquer. Some of you know the plot to it. There is a young man who comes to a country squire's house and mistakenly thinks that he is in a public inn. He orders the squire around in his own house, and he mistakes the squire's daughter for the barmaid. This daughter doesn't mind this at all because she has fallen in love with the young man. And she thinks that if she were to reveal her true identity and insist on being treated with the dignity of the daughter of the house, the young man will be so embarrassed that he will go away and never come back. And that's what she doesn't want. And so she aims to win and retain his love. She lets him go on thinking for the time being that she is something other, something less than what she really is. And she says, I stooped to conquer. This kind of stooping is our theme this morning, the stooping of voluntary humiliation, the willingness to be treated as something other or something less than one really is. It means giving up the use of one's rights and privileges in certain situations. There are times when it is necessary to stoop. Now, this young girl that we were talking about stooped in order to conquer by winning the man's love. Now, to go from the ridiculous to the sublime, we can say that the Lord Jesus also stooped in deep humility. He wasn't like this girl with her romantic schemes, but he did stoop. He stooped to conquer, to gain a victory for mankind over sin, death, and the devil, and to win souls for his kingdom. Long ago, one of the fathers of the church said, the first step in the Christian life is humility, and the second step is humility, and the third step is humility. All life long, the Christian must be learning to be humble, that is, to stoop, to bend, to yield, to give up, to serve, to obey. Humility is an indispensable and essential and inseparable part of Christian love. Humility is the opposite of much that is found so abundantly in the world, that is, selfishness and cruelty and harshness and the spirit of revenge. It is the opposite of vainglory, the spirit that is inclined to make great claims for oneself, to disparage others, that is, easily offended. Even among Christians, this vainglory and this strife may be found, even though it should not be. Selfish stubbornness that picks a quarrel at the slightest provocation, that seeks only its own interest and will not cooperate or serve or consider others, that has no right to exist in the midst of a Christian community or congregation. But a Christian should have a lowliness of mind which thinks little of himself but much of others, which will seek to further what will be of good and benefit to one's brother and sister. In order to learn and to grow in the duty of humility, The Apostle Paul directs us to look at Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Humility is Christ's life. He was willing to lay aside his heavenly majesty and become a man, weak and exposed to all the dangers of human life. Not only did he become a man, but he became a lowly man, despised and ill-treated. He suffered so much at the hands of those who did not know the mystery of godliness, that here was God made manifest in the flesh. As we read this passage here about Christ and his humility and his work, two words stand out as important for us, two words that are comforting and encouraging to us that we should be Christ-like also. There is the word humble, for he humbled himself, and there is the word exalted. The Father exalted him. Jesus humbled himself when he lived as a man and did not insist upon his divine majesty and dignity as God. Oh, he never stopped being God, even for a little while. The baby of Bethlehem was the creator of the universe. The man who sat on the donkey on Palm Sunday was and is the Lord who is present everywhere and fills heaven and earth. The Savior who hung on the cross is the judge of the world. He always had all the power and majesty and might of God, but he refrained from fully using these during the days of his humiliation. Jesus humbled himself by being obedient. He stooped to the level of a servant of God, even though he is the Lord of all. It's not only that he placed himself under the law of God and the ordinances of God that he might live an innocent and guiltless life, but he also knew that the Father, his Father, had commanded him to suffer and die for the redemption of the world. He was sent to save the lost, to give his life as a ransom for sinners. God the Father publicly humiliated his own Son with agony and shame, ending in the terrible cross. And yet the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father. They never disagree with each other's will. The Son of God obeyed and stooped very low. He was obedient unto death on the cross. He became our substitute. The Lord laid upon him the iniquities of us all, and his death was our punishment. What endless comfort there is for us in this thought that the Lord stooped. For we can look at Christ with all the guilt that lies upon our conscience because of our sins, and we can say, there is the Lamb of God who was slain for my wrongdoing. For his sake, I will obtain pardon and everlasting life. Lord, have mercy on me. And furthermore, there is here a powerful motivation for living for Christ. For we know that Christ stooped very low and died miserably for the sins that we commit. And this then gives us the strength to overcome sin, to live not for ourselves, but for our Savior. Now God has exalted Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, now rules everywhere. He fully uses his divine powers and majesty, and there is no more humiliation for him. This exalting of Christ, as we know, is not merely a personal reward or personal vindication for him, because he didn't do any of this just for himself. Rather, he died for us. He is our Savior, our substitute. And so when we hear that God the Father raised and exalted Christ, we can rejoice that God has accepted Christ's work for us. He has accepted his sacrifice given for us. The Father accepts and glorifies us because he has accepted and glorified our substitute, the Lord Jesus. God is well pleased with what our Savior has accomplished for us. And this means that the fatherly heart of God is open to us sinners. And so let us praise the name of Jesus, who is exalted, which is exalted above every name that there is. Let us confess that he is Lord. He stooped conquer sin and death and hell. And he conquers us. He occupies our hearts. May the humility and the cross of Christ conquer the lovelessness and the pride that is still left in us. May he and his Spirit rule in us and overcome our sin. We know that Christ on the cross died for all the sins that separate men and cut them asunder. And so the Scripture urges us to forgive one another if any has a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you. This is what our Savior did. He came, he stooped, he conquered, and he still conquers. And we praise him for it.